Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In large airports, they have a way to help move people down long corridors. If you've never walked on a moving walkway, they are essentially a large treadmill or conveyor belt constantly moving people in one direction. They are especially helpful to the weary traveler who can stop and take a rest while still getting where they need to go. In a way, our life of faith is similar, except the walkway moves in the opposite direction and much faster than we can keep up with. We desire to move closer to the kingdom of God, but the walkway overpowers us and constantly moves us toward death and damnation. Even if we are chasing after heaven as best as we can, on our own, we cannot achieve it. For this reason, God gives means through which he gives Jesus to overcome the power of the walkway of sin, Satan, and the world to us. Like, for example, roller skates and a safety harness attached to a tether to reel us in. God gives Jesus in his word and sacraments to bring us to himself in his kingdom, despite the walkway constantly pulling us toward eternal destruction. That means if we forsake those means of our salvation and believe that we are making progress on our own, or even if we believe that we have made it to a point that is close enough where we are able to stop and rest, the truth is, our own sinful flesh, the temptations of the devil, and the whispers of the world are constantly dragging us back toward hell. Yet how often do we unfasten ourselves from that harness of his word and take off those skates of his sacraments and somehow still believe on this moving walkway headed in the wrong direction that we are still making progress and getting closer to the kingdom of God? How often would we rather stand on our own two feet, believing that we are good enough where we are, even though we are still a long way off? After all, we know about Jesus. We know who he is and what he has done. Why would we need to dig any deeper and actually study the Bible? Why would we need to examine ourselves according to the scriptures and God's law? Why would we need to challenge and prune our own thoughts and beliefs with the shears of his word? There are much better and important things that we'd rather be doing and must be at. And we already receive the Lord's Supper when we're here. Why would we need to receive his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins more than that? We are perfectly content with where we stand. There is no need to concern ourselves with his words and with his word and sacrament even more. Yet, all we need to do is look down and see the truth. On this moving walkway of sin, the devil, and the world, there is no such thing as standing still. And we dare not boast in our own credentials, leaning on our own associations or self-identifications to save us. We dare not look toward our worship, Sunday school, or Bible study attendance, or toward our volunteer hours. We dare not consider our own knowledge or experience or passion or goodness. None of that can even come close to what Paul himself can boast in, and none of that can save you. Paul himself considers all of that as, well, as our sanitized version of the translation puts it, rubbish. But the word Paul uses is actually quite a bit more vivid. Paul says, it's all excrement, dung, manure, a big, heaping, steaming pile of human waste. If we boast in these things, thinking that we are making it on our own, standing on our own two feet, the truth is, we are standing outside of Christ and have no salvation. If we believe that we have arrived at perfection or simply are good enough and so go grow complacent with where we are, we are in fact moving backward toward death and damnation. When we don't cling desperately to the means of grace, God's word and sacrament, we are forsaking our call in Christ and living as if what we believe is what truly matters. We are living as those wicked tenants in the parable when we do so. Just think, how well do you know the catechism? Those six chief parts of our faith. If I passed out a piece of paper to every one of you and asked you right now to write down the Ten Commandments, how many of us could get 100%? If you could, how many of us could write a small paragraph about each commandment and what it means and how we both keep and break these commandments every day of our lives? How many of us could explain the Creed or the Lord's Prayer? How many of us could explain what happens in baptism and what benefits we receive through it, or even the Lord's Supper? How many can even remember which chief part I haven't mentioned yet? How many people would be able to partake in communion at our altar if each and every Sunday I gave you a simple confirmation examination before you receive the body and blood? Does any of this earn you salvation? Of course not. But the reality is, there is no such thing as standing still in our faith. Either our sinful flesh, the world, and Satan are pulling us away from the kingdom of God, or the Spirit is bringing us toward the kingdom by His word and sacrament. As long as we remain in this flesh, we are constantly being moved either one way or the other. This is why Paul says he counts all the confidence he has in who he is and what he has done as a loss, that he may gain Christ and be found in Him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know Him and the power of the resurrection, and may share in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it, this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me His own. How much more do we then, if this is what Paul says, need to cling to those very gifts of grace and mercy and life and forgiveness, Christ's very word and sacrament, through which He gives us Jesus Himself, and live according to it? Dr. Luther wrote in the preface to the Large Catechism, "But for myself I say this, I am also a doctor and preacher, yes, as learned and experienced as all the people who have such assumptions and contentment. Yet I act as a child who is being taught the catechism. Every morning and whenever I have time, I read and say, word for word, the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, the Psalms and such. I must still read and study them daily. Yet I cannot master the catechism as I wish, but I must remain a child and a pupil of the catechism, and I'm glad to do and remain so." If Luther, the one who wrote the catechism, who organized it and put it together, says this, then how much more must we? For we can never know the Bible well enough or good enough to no longer need to read it. Our knowledge can never reach the level of perfection that we no longer need to go back and actually study the basics. Our righteousness can never be so great as to never examine ourselves according to the law of God each and every day. But when our eyes are opened by the Spirit, and we realize that we have let go and stopped clinging to Christ through His means of grace, we can look again and see that they are still here for us to grab hold of. His word is proclaimed every Sunday from this pulpit. His body and blood are given upon this altar. Your Bible and catechism are still on the shelf at home, and if not, there's an easy way to fix that. Even when we forget to press on and we find ourselves farther and farther from the kingdom than we were before, Christ continues to pour himself out for us, to offer himself to us in his means of grace in order to pull us back to himself. So we strive as we look toward what lies ahead and forget what lies behind. Because the very Christ who came and died and suffered for us and was placed inside a tomb and rose again, who then ascended before heaven, before the throne in heaven, and intercedes before us, for us before God, is not a Christ that is going to easily let us go. Instead, he is a Christ who will continually, no matter what we do or say, come to us and offer himself for us so that our faith may be strengthened. So go home and open up the Bible and the Catechism and read. Engage your family and friends in a conversation about theology and doctrine. Don't assume that you know everything. Instead, study, study, study. Be willing to admit that maybe you don't know it all, and in fact, maybe you've been wrong. And cling to Christ like your life depends upon it, because it does. And as you desperately cling to Christ, pressing on toward him, I can assure you that he will never let you go. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ our Lord.